Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, Reggie, we're back again. Ready for the next set of 200 episodes to go? We just completed 200. Let's go for... I should say, you have not been here for all 200, but you have been here for, I don't know, at least, what, the last year and a half or so? A good number. Last 50-some, if he's figured every once a year. Have you ever counted? You should go back and count how many you've done. It's probably 60 at least, right? I've had several different producers for whatever reason. I run through producers like Murphy Brown used to run through secretaries. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Google it. You'll find out that's a pretty funny joke. Okay, you ready? Let's go. We are here to entertain the troops, just like Bob Hope did back in the war days. And you're looking at me again with a blank stare. Am I making that many obscure references to you? Look up Bob Hope, and then look up Entertaining the Troops, and you'll understand what I mean. Anyway, thank you for your loyalty and devotion to help me do this. We could not do it without you. And so we are here to entertain the folks in these troubled times, right? We're doing we're doing noble work here, sir. So check those levels. Mic sounds good. Needles are bouncing around in a playfully exciting way. So they're excited to get started. So why don't we do the same thing? Ready? Here we go. Write it down in the books. Episode 201. I will give my three S's. Star, smile, and especially in these days, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Pod. Fantastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. A new episode is posted every Monday at WGNplus.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you do, don't forget to rate this podcast on that forum or that platform. And subscribe. And then, most importantly, there's no better advertisement than word of mouth. So, tell your friends. Send them a link. Send them a message. Tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And that they should listen to. And to all my listeners, long time as well as new castaways, thank you so much for your loyalty and your devotion. If you like what you hear, by all means, go to WGNplus.com, go to the podcast section. You will see a prompt for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and there you will find all previous podcasts. So go back and binge to your heart's content on now 200 previous podcasts, which only mean one thing. Welcome to 201. Yes, sir. So, as part of that kind of suggestion to go back and listen, as I say many times, especially old podcast listeners will know this, my goal is to create a dialogue with you, the listener. And so, many times I will refer to previous podcasts, so it's always good to keep up. So now, I don't think you can use the excuse, I don't have the time. that excuse is, we can't use that for a while. When we get back to normal again and our schedules and lives get back to their busy realities, we can throw that one back in, but that one's going to take a while to use again. You can't say I don't have the time. And I used to say jokingly that all I ask for is 1 hour a week out of your formerly busy schedule to listen to this podcast. And I didn't think that was a big ask, if you will. Oh, ASK, by the way. I don't think that was a big ask to ask for 1 hour out of a week to listen to this podcast. But now I would assume that many of you, at least some, have a little more free time than you used to. Are you finding that? So if you do, if you can binge on Netflix and binge on Amazon.com, you can binge on Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and they're all there. Going back to May of 2016. So you can see how we've both evolved as well as stayed right where we always have been. Which is, I think, a good mix. You want a little change, but you also want some reliability out of your podcast and of your Elton Jim, right? So I hope I've been able to deliver that. But they are all there. And as I say, in my goal of creating a dialogue with you, to know what I've talked about in the past, is helpful, because I often will bring back some older topics if there's something new that has occurred about those. And so it's good to just, in any conversations you have with a friend, you know, you hopefully, you know, have past memories and past experiences, and our experiences are sharing these podcasts together. So hopefully you will have some memories of the former podcast, and when I talk about a topic, you'll sort of remember what I had said about it before, and now I'm giving you a little more, update or new information on that. So by all means, in these uncertain times, there is one thing for certain. There are at least 200 Elton Jim podcasts you can listen to right now at WGNplus.com. And I am going to certainly do what I can do to provide some certainty and stability in your life by being here every week moving forward. It's certainly during these crazy times, as John Lennon said, nobody told me there'd be days like these. Strange days indeed. Most peculiar, Mama. So you know what? Actually, before I get on with my main topic, I'm going to actually prove something now of what I just said. Funny how that works. It's almost as if I had it planned. A podcast ago, I was talking about Woody Allen's autobiography that was supposed to be published in April. And then due to some pressure from employees from the publishing house who did a walkout in protest of the book being published, as well as Ronan Farrow, Woody Allen's estranged son, who has come to fame as the crusading Me Too journalist, and has brought up Woody Allen's 20-year-old allegations of allegedly molesting Ronan's sister and Woody Allen's adopted daughter at the time in 1991, apparently, or 92, when the allegations came out. Woody Allen was accused by his daughter, who was 7 at the time, that he molested her. He vehemently denied the charges at the time, has denied them throughout the last 20 years. He was cleared by 2 state investigations in 2 separate states, in Connecticut and New York, of any charges. Both investigations came to the conclusion that there was no credible evidence that these charges or allegations ever occurred. And he was never charged legally. Despite that, Dylan and, Ronan, in supporting his sister, as well as Mia Farrow, their mom, and who was Woody Allen's partner for 12 years, have continued to assert that they are true. And certainly when the Me Too movement began, Ronan had a personal interest and brought up Woody Allen's 20-year-old charges, and that has led to Woody Allen's career being harmed. Some of his newest films have not been released here in America. Some of them have not been released at all. And so Ronan Farrow, when he heard that Woody Allen's autobiography was going to come out, protested it, said he was going to cut ties with the same publisher who published his book about the Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement recently. They were also publishing Woody's book. And so he said, well, I cannot work with you if you're going to publish his book, because he believes that it's false and it's, because, you know, Woody denies the charges. And Dylan says, imagine if this was your sister, how would you feel? Well, I understand that, but, you know, that's your family business. And you can't stop free speech because it's uncomfortable for you or your sister or your mom. But he used a little celebrity blackmail, I believe, by saying that I'm going to cut ties with you. Sort of gave the publisher an ultimatum, as well as, I think, some uninformed workers who maybe don't know the whole story about how Woody Allen was, you know, found, you know, was not found, you know, not even charged with these allegations. And these allegations were found not to be true, at least from an evidential standpoint. But, you know, they probably heard all the Ronan Farrow side of this and never heard the Woody Allen side. So they staged a walkout. Long story short, after announcing they were going to publish the book, the book publisher said, by the pressure of the employees and the Ronan Farrow situation, that they were not going to publish the book, which in my book is not only cowardice in this, you know, cancel culture that we're in, succumbing to mob rule, not allowing any due process, succumbing to celebrity blackmail in many ways. So I felt that Hachette was very cowardly, and they were basically censoring Woody Allen. A book publisher, I would assume, is founded on freedom of speech, and here they were censoring freedom of speech. Well, an update on this. Thankfully, the Woody Allen book, the autobiography called Apropos of Nothing, in which he does give his side to those allegations that are more than 20 years old that he was not charged on at all, ever. A book publisher called Arcade is publishing the book. In fact, it is available now. I've ordered it. I went on Amazon. It's already out of stock. I'm not sure if, given our current shutdown, if the printing presses are working or not, but it is available. And it is being published by a group called Arcade. I don't know if they're a big or a small publishing house, but I just want to say that they are a brave and I don't even know what the word is, but they are a true publisher, I guess. They do not succumb to pressures. They are not cowards, and they do support the freedom of speech. In fact, they said that as a publisher, we are publishing this book because we believe that, Woody Allen's story deserves to be heard. And that's true. You can agree or disagree with it, but you can't stop it. That's like book burning. That's 21st century book burning. That's what Hachette did, basically. They deprived the public from reading this book. Ronan Farrow never read a word of it, and he was still against it. I'm sure he wanted freedom of the press when he was looking into Harvey Weinstein. You can't have it both ways. I'm sorry that your sister is in pain. I appreciate you that you support your sister, but you can't. But that's your family problem, and you can't allow your family problem to get in the way in the Constitution of free speech. But it looked like Ronan Farrow could have his way until Arcade Publishing said, no, you can't. I don't condone Woody Allen's personal life decisions. And to be honest with you, that's not my business. I can separate the two and respect him as an artist, which I do. And so I can appreciate his art without having to condone or admire what he's done in his personal life, because it's really not my business. But nobody has the right to stop the publication of a book just because they don't agree with it. That's censorship. That doesn't happen in the United States, and thankfully Arcade Publishing made sure it doesn't happen. I don't know if Arcade's a big publishing house, I said before, but I will look at Arcade publishing books from now on. And if they do catch my interest, I'll make sure to buy them. And I've never really bought a book based on its publisher before, but from now on, I will look to see, and if Hachette or any of its other associated publishing groups publish a book, I probably won't buy it. They need to be punished. There needs to be consequences for them caving in to, you know, this mob mentality, this cancel culture, and succumbing to celebrity blackmail. Shame on you, Hachette, and kudos to you, Arcade Publishing. So I just wanted to update that. We talked about that a couple of podcasts ago, and there we have a little update on that. The book is published. So what I wanted to talk about today, obviously it's still crazy times, and it's uncertain times. I do feel a little like Bob Hope, and you may have to Google that. I don't know if there's a reference. I don't know if Woody Allen is a reference that people have to Google. If you don't know who Bob Hope is, Google him, and then you'll understand this reference too. I feel as if I'm doing my part here by doing our podcast, entertaining the troops during these difficult times. And as I've said, I appreciate your loyalty. I don't know if you, so if look up Bob Hope too, once you Google him, then Google Bob Hope, entertaining the troops. Bob Hope, very famous and popular comedian for probably 70 years. He died probably about 20 years ago. But he was the most popular entertainer in the world, hands down. Starting back from the radio days through television and movies. And not only was he the most popular entertainer for many, many years, but one of the things he did do, he was a philanthropist as well, and one of the main cornerstones of his career was he would go, during wartime, he would go and entertain the troops. He would go to far-off lands many times in very dangerous areas and visit different American bases in combat zones to entertain the troops, even for an hour or so, just to liven their spirits and entertain them for a couple hours and get their minds off of the stressful, uncertain situation they were in, and bring them a little taste of home and remind them what they were fighting for, and just bring a little piece of America to them. And Bob Hope did come to symbolize that. Ironically, Bob Hope was born in England, but he was really one of the most famous American citizens. So I feel, in my own little crazy way here with our podcast, I'm doing my part, hopefully, to hopefully bring you, you know, a little distraction from the normal stress and uncertainty that we're all feeling today. So hopefully this podcast is a place that you do come to for some escapism, a little safe haven, a little smile, a little information, a little opinion, whatever it is, whatever reason you come here. I hope that I in some way are providing some kind of a happy distraction, something that you look forward to, something that you can rely on in these uncertain times. And so a part of that is the uncertain times comes through this recent, I guess it's what, panic buying, whatever it is, as we've all been trying to cope with what's going on here in the shutdown. I think the historians are going to have a field day with us. I thought they were going to have a field day with us to begin with, ever since the invention of the smartphone, and I've talked about that on many occasions, and how our society has really, really changed since the introduction of the smartphone, and how we have become more self-centered and narcissistic and things like that. So I thought the historians were going to have a field day with us before, but I think when they look back at this period starting, in, you know, late February or early March of 2020, they're going to have a field day with us again. And part of it is this, that was really the first, one of the first signs of stress and fear and panic was this hoarding of at the grocery store, namely of hand sanitizers and toilet paper. And I don't know about you, but you know, going to the grocery store these days has been an interesting experience. I thankfully have not been in any involved in any of these crazy confrontational things with people. It certainly has been a different experience when you walk through the aisles and see empty aisles for weeks upon weeks of items that are still not there. But I have thankfully not had any kind of violent or uncomfortable encounters. One of the reasons why, I think, is because I have not had to stockpile some of these things that most people have felt the need to have 90 of each. And a reason is because I've already had them. Now, I've talked on many occasions, and I've shared with you on many occasions, many of my little, I don't know, peculiar personality traits, if you will, my idiosyncrasies, those little picadillos that that make an Elton Jim so interesting, I guess, I hope. Or you just kind of shrug your shoulders and shake your head, but hopefully you laugh. But that's me. I'm not lying about these. And I've always tried to be honest and share these, because if they're funny, I think they're worth sharing. I've said on many occasions, there's nothing I love better than making a list. Well, I guess there's one thing that I enjoy more than making a list, and then that's the follow-up, crossing the items out on that list. Oh, there's nothing like crossing something out on the list. I enjoy making the list, but whew, I have to smoke a cigarette after I cross. If I complete a whole list that I've made, whoa. Was it good for you? Yes. I don't even smoke cigarettes and I have a cigarette. But yeah, oh my goodness. Love making lists. Which of course then, makes or falls right into the, enjoyment of going shopping, right? You make a shopping list. Now in the good old days, which was only about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, remember, you'd go to the grocery. I mean, the grocery store experience now has completely changed, and hopefully it changes back. But you may remember in the good old days, in my day, when we went to the grocery store, we didn't have to fight for toilet paper or hand sanitizer or boxes of rice. We went to the store, we bought what we wanted, we bought as many as we wanted, and we didn't have any guilt about it. We filled our cart, or sometimes we didn't fill it at all. But we went to the store, we got what we wanted, we got what we needed, and we loved it. We loved it. That was only 6 weeks ago, when you can go to the store and basically not only buy what you wanted or what you needed, but then you could buy other things too. And you came home with everything you wanted. Remember those days? Now, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know about you, but it's taken me 3 or 4 trips in one trip, 3 or 4 stops to find certain items, and many times still not able to find them. This has not been an easy time for me, folks, because as I said, I love to make a list, and the grocery list is one of the most common, where you get to make that list and then you go there and you put lines through those. You check those off. Nothing quite like leaving the grocery store and looking at my list and just seeing that I got everything on it. And I literally, even though I know I got it, I would go home and cross them out when I got home. That's how crazy I am, right? I don't know if I'm OCD or not. I don't have rituals. I don't have to tap a table 7 times or do that. But I am very particular. I will move an item that's on a shelf, you know, a quarter of an inch if it needs to be where it should be, whatever that means, at least in my mind. So I don't know what it is. I'll be cavalier in some areas, but there's some things that I am very anal retentive and very particular about. And as I said, I love making a list. So this has been a little frustrating time for me, because many times I will come home without my list completely fulfilled, and I will then have to keep that to remind me for the next time I go. And those items that are not crossed out, boy, they are screaming at me every day. They are yelling at me, even though I put them in a drawer and closed the drawer. I could hear them.
Tim, if you were helping, you need to cross us off your list.
I know I need to cross you off your list, but I'm not going to the store today. Oh, they're there, and they're screaming at me. But the thing is, I have not had to hoard what most other people have been hoarding. And the reason is that I still live by that adage of the Boy Scouts. Now, I was a Cub Scout for, I think, a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I quit before Weeblos, but I was a Cub Scout. Good old Pack 3935, I believe. I still have my little red vest with my merit badges on them. I wasn't crazy about being a scout, but I did, obviously, cling to one of the main tenets of scouting. And in the 70s and 80s, there used to be commercials to promote scouting called Be Prepared. That was the Cub Scout and the Boys, especially the Boy Scout slogan. The marketing slogan was Be Prepared. There used to be a song, Be Prepared. Are you ready to take the lead? Be prepared. So clearly, even though I wasn't crazy about scouting, some stuff rubbed off on me. So that the thought of being prepared from a young child has always been something that that I have looked at as an important attribute. I prepare for this podcast. Everything I do, I always do my research. I do my due diligence. I am prepared. Even though it may seem as if it is very, natural or off the cuff, that's obviously the goal. But I am always prepared. I try to be for whatever I do. Because I believe by being prepared, you are certainly raising the odds for success. There are some things that pure luck have something to do with. But many times, you do have to do your work in order for things to happen the way you want them to. You have to be prepared. So I have to thank the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts for me not having to be a crazed grocery store hoarder. Because here's the thing. When I go to the grocery store, and I do most of the grocery shopping for our home here, at least I have in the last several months or years, I subscribe to the overall theme of never run out. Long before, COVID-19, it has nothing to do with the fear of an apocalypse, of a zombie takeover, of Armageddon. It's nothing about survivalism. It's nothing about government coups. It's none of the survivalist extreme, fears. Just in my own mind, I believe that if I'm responsible for the groceries in the home, right, and all the other supplies we have in the home, if that's my responsibility, then in my mind, if I'm doing a good job at that,
We should never run out of anything. We should always have extras on hand. Whether it's soap, whether it's, dishwashing liquid, whether it's your favorite food, whatever it is, whatever you use in your home, whatever we use on a regular basis, I believe if I have taken on the responsibility of being the main shopper, the main gatherer, if you will, then I believe it is a part of that is not just the gathering, but it's also the inventory. It's a twofold job. You need to know your inventory before you go out and gather. And in my book, I don't ever want to have to run out and get something. Oh my gosh, we don't have this. Let me run out and get it in a panic. I don't want to be in a panic. I don't want to have to run out. What if they don't have what I need? And my point is, I'm out there. So when I'm out there gathering, let me know my inventory and keep that inventory well stocked. Now, I am not a hoarder. I do not have 40 cases of everything. However, I can tell you right now, in addition to the mouthwash bottle that is in our vanity, that is in use, right? The mouthwash in use in the supply closet, where all, like, for instance, all those, supplies are, there are right now 3 bottles of mouthwash in reserve, in addition to the bottle that we're using. Soap, right? I use Irish Spring. Oh, I love my Irish Spring. I have at least, I would say, 12 boxes of individual bars of soap in the supply closet, in addition to the bar of soap that's in the shower that I'm using. It's because I never want to run out of soap. Toothpaste, in addition to the tube that we have in the vanity in the bathroom, I know there are 2 unused, ready-to-go tubes of toothpaste that are in there waiting. So my point is, I like to have the reserves so that there is no running out, because I feel that I would not be doing my job as the gatherer if I did not know my inventory. So I will, when I go regularly shopping, in the days when you would just go shopping and able to get whatever you wanted, which was now, it seems like 100 years ago, even if I knew I had several packs, at least, I guess this way, I will buy, if I have 1 full pack of, say, between 8 to 12 rolls of paper towels, in addition to the roll that is on, that's being used, and I have a full pack of 12 that hasn't even been opened, when I break that new pack and use the new one, it's time for me to buy a new 12-pack or 8-pack, whichever is more on sale at the time. So my point is, in my mind, I never have less than 20 rolls of paper towels. So, and when that, as soon as I break that next one, you buy it. I put it right on top, or right on the bottom of the other one, so I can grab the empty one. But there's never 1 roll of toilet of paper towels left. Oh my gosh, we're out of paper towels. Never let that happen. As soon as I break the new one, the next time I go out to shop, when you could buy paper towels, which are hard to come by these days, but I would buy another 8 to 12 rolls. So the chances of us running out of paper towels was very low. Same thing with toilet paper. Toilet paper, we all know this is one thing that we will always need. Whenever there's a question, when you're at the grocery store and you say, "Oh, do we need toilet paper?" Stupid question. Ridiculous question. Do we need toilet paper? We always need toilet paper. We will never not need toilet paper. So you can always buy toilet paper. Even if you have, 20 rolls at home, if there's a sale, buy it. Why not? Do we need toilet paper? Is that an existential question? Or is that a need question? Do we need toilet paper? Yes, we as a species need toilet paper. So you should never run out of toilet paper in these other times, because you should always just have it. You should always buy it on a regular basis. Not when you're running out, not when you go, "Oh my God, we have no toilet paper, and I'm in the bathroom now and I have to run out to my car and go buy some." Do you want to be in that situation? No need. You always need toilet paper. So even if you have 30 rolls at home and you say, "I don't need to buy toilet paper today," why not? Unless you physically can't put somewhere to put it. But if there's a sale and sometimes I don't have to buy the 48 roll. I'll buy a 20 roll. And then the next week, I'll maybe buy a 12 roll. And maybe sometimes I'll say, it's been about a week or so, I haven't bought any. Let me buy just a small, maybe buy an 8 roll. So here's the thing. When I started seeing all this hoarding going on, like everyone else, I got paranoid. Hey, where am I at in my toilet paper inventory? So I called down to the warehouse. In fact, I didn't even trust the warehouse crew. I went down into the basement where the toilet paper is stored to check for myself, and I saw that we had at least at that time about 40 rolls. Now, this was pre-hoarding. This is my point. I already had 40 rolls in our basement, ready to go, normal, before the hoarding started. So now now over the last several weeks, I have not been able to find any toilet paper at any store I've gone to. But I haven't been in a crazy panic, because I know that I have, and we've obviously been using toilet paper the last 3 weeks, but I'm saying in my mind, we're still doing well here. We're still doing good in our reserve, because I was prepared. Be prepared. So a lot of times people joke at me, "Oh my gosh, you're so anal retentive." Yeah, but you know what? That's really about being prepared, taking the time, and the fear was not about apocalypse. It was just about running out, doing my job well as the gatherer. So we are still in a very good position in toilet paper supply. If I can't now, certainly the next time I go out, I've always been going out to find more. But if I don't, I'm not coming home in a cold sweat, because I do know that thanks to my preparation, we had some in reserve. Now, and I'm not going to run out and buy 58 more either, because I'm also very cognizant of other people, which I think we have to be in these times. What I don't understand is the first day when these stores saw these crazy people, and if you're one of them, I'm sorry, but you're crazy, it was, buying 50, even 10. If you went to the store and bought more than, I'm going to even say three. If you bought more than three, depending on how many people you have in your house. Once again, it's just my wife and me. So we don't need 50 rolls. So I will even give you, if you have a big family, especially with a lot of kids, I understand that the toilet paper probably goes out, leaves, gets flushed a lot quicker in your household than mine. I get that. I appreciate that. So my wife and I can live off of 35 rolls longer than a family of four. I get that. But if in the hoarding times, if you had more than five giant, like 40, you know, 25 rolls, and you came home with 100 rolls of toilet paper, that's excessive. That was pure panic, totally illogical. And it was being unfair to the other people in the store. And you have to just admit that. I mean, you can't justify it. There's really no justification. You can try to rationalize it, but it doesn't hold any water. So you just have to admit that to yourself, at least. If you won't admit it to other people, fine. That's your own deal. But you have to admit to yourself that you went overboard. And you let emotion and panic overcome your sense, and you were being unfair to other people. And I don't understand, after the first day, when the managers of these stores, that certainly wasn't there one cashier who raised their hand. Once again, I'm always asking, where is the one person in these situations who raises their hands and says to somebody in power, we've got a problem here. Why is that, you know, I pride myself many times of being the lone voice in the forest. It hasn't always been a great thing in my life and my world for bringing reality to the table and pointing out problems, because, you know, people don't like that. Oh, you're Mr. Downer. Or no, we all, you know, when you're making a strategy, you need a devil's advocate. I happily play that role. You need a devil's advocate because you need to plan for if something doesn't go right. So I can't believe that a store manager or even a cashier who's on the front lines, who's seeing these people with 50, you know, gallons of water and 20 packs of toilet paper, nobody went to their manager and said, it seems like people are beginning to panic buy. So maybe we should institute a limit, 2 packs per family, 2 packs per cart. And if they come with 50 toilet paper packs in their cart, we will not let them buy them. They can put them in their cart all they want. But when they get to the cash register, we are going to let them only buy 2. There was no one that used that. Was there that much greed? Was there that much ignorance? Was there that much I don't even know what the word is, just, you know, incompetence on the part of these stores? Or were they just like, well, okay, it's Mad Max. Let them take what they want. No. That's your job. That's your responsibility as a store manager to think of all your customers. Not just that one. Oh, well, if I tell him that he can't buy them, then he might not come back. Well, big deal, because there's 50 other people who will get the toilet paper, who will come to your store again, because they know that you were smart and you put a limit on it. So think about the 50 who will come back because of your smart, proactive move, as opposed to letting this other person hoard everything and let them be, awarded for their bad decisions and their selfishness. So, you know what? Yeah, you know, I blame the people that were hoarding all this toilet paper for whatever reason, because there was no real reason. That was the other thing. There's no shortage of toilet paper. This was just a complete irrational feeling of some kind of control to stop this, which there was no shortage of toilet paper. Using toilet paper is not a symptom of COVID-19. I wouldn't mind if you say, well, you know, you get some really bad intestinal problems when you get this flu. No. Toilet paper was not needed, was not to be hoarded, but it was ridiculously thought by somebody. And the lemmings all followed. And as I said, I blame those who hoarded it, and I blame even more, to be honest with you, the store managers who allowed it. By the second day, you saw what was happening. You put a stop to it. You don't just think of your greed. Well, hey, if he wants to buy... No, no, no. Clearly, this person isn't thinking rationally. And you have to serve the entire community, not just this idiot. So now you put a limit on it. And you say two person. And when they come to the cash register with 50 of them, you take 48 away from them. And you put them back on the shelves so other people can get them. That's the way to do it. But nobody apparently raised their hand. No manager called up the district of their stores and said, hey, we're getting a run on toilet paper here. Do you think that we should maybe put a limit on it so that other people can get it? No, but a cashier didn't tell their manager, didn't raise their hand, and their manager didn't raise the hand of the and call up the central office and say, hey, we need to have a store-wide, chain-wide new policy here in these times. Nobody raised their hand. And so now, here we are in the 21st century, and we're going to a grocery store in the United States for 3 weeks, empty aisles with no toilet paper for absolutely no reason. But all I know is I had mine. And you know why? Because in the days of abundant toilet paper, I realized that being prepared, being a good gatherer meant knowing your inventory, especially the things that you're always going to need, and always making sure that you're well stocked. I have at least 4 bottles of liquid plumber. I have 4 bottles of liquid plumber. Do you have 1 bottle of liquid plumber at your house? I wonder if anybody has any. I have 4. Because you never know when a clogged drain is going to happen. And when it happens, I'm prepared to unclog that drain. I don't have to run to the store or wait for a week until I get to the store and deal with a clogged drain. I always have at least 4 bottles of liquid plumber. That's my point. I have way too many little pods for the dishwasher. But you know what? Never run out. If I'm half, I buy a 64 pod, dishwashing pod thing. And when I'm halfway there, I buy another 25. Before this, we have our cat, the beautiful Grimsby cat. When I go to the store to buy Grimsby her favorite cat food, which is the chunky chicken feast, I go to this one, now I can't think of a pet shop, and a case of the cat food has 24 individual cans in a case. If they have them in stock, I will buy, at every time I go, I buy 3 cases, 72 cans. And that's when I already have 3 cases still at home. So most of the time, at any given time, I have 6 cases of cat food. For the simple reason, we'll never run out. Our cat will always have food. Because there's sometimes when they're out of that food. I go there and they don't have any cases and they're out of it. Now, what if I had no food? What if I went down to the last can and went to that store and there was no food there? Now I got to make 17 trips. When I'm out buying them, I know this cat needs to eat until she's not living anymore, which could be 13 years. So I need cat food. I'm always going to need cat food. So what's the difference of buying 1 case or 3? I'm going to buy them in another week and a half. Now I don't have to go to the pet store every week. I go once a month. In fact, the cashier, one time I came there and I only had like a half a case because that's all that was there. It was broken into, you know, and they had it on the shelves individually because I'll go look in the back and get the three unopened cases and just take those. Or if I see them up on an upper shelf, I will call, you know, one of the workers to say, hey, can I have those three cases up there? So one time they didn't have any, except for it was on the shelf, only a few cans. And so I and the woman, the cash register, the woman at the cash register goes, what's this? You usually buy three cases. I guess I must be famous over there. Little did I know that I'm the guy who buys the three cases of cat food. But you know what? Our cat is never hungry. There's some things you're always going to use all the time. So don't pretend that you're not. Always have more than you need. Because you're going to go back. This isn't about having, you could just buy whatever you want. No. I mean, there's some things that you buy that maybe are out of the ordinary. Oh, but when you talk about paper towels or toilet paper, or in this case, cat food, or like I said before, soap or toothpaste, you know that those things, you use them every day, which also means you're going to run out of them quick. They're usually, before this craziness, in abundance. So if you're going to buy one, buy two. I love, for instance, these wet wipes, these Murphy oil wet wipes to, you know, dust things. We have a lot of dust. I have a lot of knickknacks. We have a lot of knickknacks. And so, you know, you got to dust the shelves and dust everything. I love these Murphy oil wet wipes. I don't know if they're probably not Clorox, so they're not like they're disinfectant. They're not like, you know, but, you know, they're like $2.50 a piece. Now, we use these for a lot of things, cleaning the counters, dusting, whatever it is. We use a lot of them. I don't buy three. I buy 12. I buy 12. I know I'm going to use them. So this way, when all of a sudden something happens and I need one in an emergency, I don't go, oh, I don't have my Murphy oil wipes. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. I've talked about Cashmere Woods, my favorite scent. My Glade air freshener scent, Cashmere Woods. Been talking about it on this podcast for years. At any given time, I have at least 10 cans. At least 10 cans. When I get below 8 cans, I will buy at least 5, if not 10 more. Why? Because I know I use it. I know I'm going to use it. So I never run out of Cashmere Woods. Now, I understand. Once again, it's just my wife and me. So, you know, our needs are different. You know, we know what we need, and we only have certain items. I understand that. If you have a bigger family with, you know, two or three kids, this one likes this, this one likes that, you got household budgets. I understand that. But still, even in that context, these are staples of life. These are what you need to get by on. You don't, if it's a question of buying, you know, 5 more cans of Cashmere Woods or, a new Xbox game, there's a difference here. What do you use every day? What do you need every day, every week? And what is something that is kind of just something elaborate. When you go shopping, I mean, that's why probably Costco has become so popular. We're not members of Costco, but everybody says that you basically go to Costco because of the toilet paper and the paper goods, because they have good prices on that. Because we all need those all the time. So my message today is the old adage from the Boy Scouts: be prepared. Now I know in today's world we're having to scavenge for what we need. If you weren't prepared, I'm not scavenging so far. Hopefully, the timing will work out as such that when I'm getting down to a critical point here in the toilet paper count, as my inventory begins to slowly diminish, which it inevitably will, my hope is that that is still going to be a couple of weeks away, and by then the toilet paper supplies will be replenished, and it will not be this crazed, panic-bought item. But I don't know. Maybe the panic buying on toilet paper is just gonna continue. Maybe I'm gonna have to drive, to another state to find it. I don't know. But at least I know that when the initial panic set in, I wasn't scavenging. I wasn't having to, to shadow people in the grocery store and create a distraction, knock down a whole display of cans or a display of oranges to create a distraction to steal a package of toilet paper out of somebody's cart. I didn't have to do that yet. But you can see I also do have a plan in place in case I do need to. So beware end cap displays. But as it stands right now, I don't need to go to those extremes. Because I was prepared, yes. Am I a little anal retentive? Yes. Does this sound a little crazy to buy 3 cases of cat food at a time? To buy 10 bottles of cashmere woods? To buy 15 bars of soap? Perhaps. But all I know is I ain't running out. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate this podcast, and most importantly, tell your friends that you listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and so should they. Send them a link, send them a message, send them your good tidings. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, episode 201. I hope you had a good time. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. I'm Jim Toronto, Elton Jim, and this has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. Need toilet paper?